Well, it's great to be able to be with you again here at Bethel Church. Becky and I count it a great privilege to be able to come and celebrate with you because this truly is one of those great days of celebration in the life of any local congregation. It's not very often the local churches have the opportunity to install a new senior pastor. And it's that time when you recognize that God has been uniquely at work in both the family of God here at Bethel Church and certainly in Andy and Lori's lives, preparing them as a couple and you as a congregation for him to be able to bring you together. What makes today especially joyous is the fact that, Lori and Andy, you're back home where you served for a while. I mean, this doesn't happen very often. And for you to be able to come back to a church family that knows you and loves you and a community that you've lived in before, that's a wonderful blessing. And the opportunity for us to celebrate on this installation Sunday, this next chapter, as today both Andy and Lori are set apart as senior pastor here in this congregation as Andy steps into that role, and then as a congregation as you're set apart for this next chapter of ministry into the months and years to come, and we believe God's going to do some very exciting things here. Now, I have the privilege today to be able to, Andy, to talk to you. And, you know, rather than bringing you up here and making you stand by me, I won't do that, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit, both you and Lori today, because I get to give the charge to the new pastor, and the rest of you, please, I want you to listen in because there are some really important things in this that you need to be praying for your pastor. Can you do that? Take some notes and make sure that you're saying, hey, this is what I want to make sure I'm standing with Andy as he steps into this role and gives leadership to us. Now, I want to take us into the scriptures. And in fact, if you have a Bible, open your Bible to the book of Acts. We're going to look a little bit in chapter 19, but primarily in chapter 20. Because in Acts chapter 19, what we find is the Apostle Paul arrives in this incredibly significant city of trade and commerce, a port city called Ephesus. And he arrives in Ephesus and he first meets some followers that knew John the Baptist and John the Baptist's baptism. They didn't really fully understand Jesus, and he describes the gospel to them, and the Spirit of God just comes upon them in a very profound way, almost like the day of Pentecost. And then he goes into the synagogue, which he does in almost every city where he goes, where there was a synagogue. And for 3 months he taught the scriptures until there was a point where there was enough resistance that he left the synagogue. And he went out into the community into a lecture hall called the Lecture Hall of Tyrannus, where for 2 years he faithfully taught the scriptures to anyone who would come. And you'll read in Acts chapter 19 that as a result of that 2+ year ministry that the Apostle Paul and the team he was with had there in the city of Ephesus, the scriptures say that the entire province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the gospel. There was an amazing move of God in that city during that time. In fact, not only was the region impacted with the gospel, but we read in the very city of Ephesus itself, as people came to faith in Christ, their lives were changed to the point where many of them who had practiced the occult and magic arts after they came to faith in Jesus, they took ancient scrolls and all kinds of occultic paraphernalia, and they brought it together and they made this huge pile and they burned it. And if you took what was burned in today's value, some estimate it could be as much as $6 million worth of occultic stuff was destroyed because they were committed to Christ. In fact, the gospel took such significant root in Ephesus that eventually a riot broke out in the city. The Apostle Paul was forced to leave, traveled from there to multiple other places in that region. And we find then in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, Paul is on his way back toward Jerusalem, and rather than stopping in Ephesus, he sails past Ephesus to another port city called Miletus. And in Miletus, he sent for the elders of the church in Ephesus, and he asked the elders to come to meet with him. And so in Acts chapter 20, we find Paul with the elders from the city of Ephesus in this city of Miletus, and he's talking to them. In the beginning of his talk, he reminds them that he had been with them and had spent time with them and how he taught the scriptures from house to house and was with them. And then we come to verse 28, which is the verse that I want us to look at today. And it's one that I have some just very short phrases, Andy, I want to leave with you. In chapter 20, verse 28, this is what it says. The Apostle Paul speaks to these leaders from Ephesus. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Andy, the first thing I want to talk to you about today is about what you need to pay attention to. And I love what Paul starts this verse. He says, pay careful attention. And really the first two words I want you to think about with me are simply these, watch carefully. And he says in verse 28, pay attention to yourselves. And Andy, I'd say to you, watch carefully your own life. And it really starts with your hearts. Because Jesus said it in the Gospels, he said, it's not what we take into our bodies that defiles us, it's what comes out of our hearts. The writer of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 said this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And it's important as you lead the congregation that you watch carefully your own heart. Because the very people that God has called you to lead and shepherd, if you're not careful, calluses and things can build up over your heart as you deal with these folk. And as you watch your heart and guard it so that it's soft and tender toward God, toward his things, for his heart, for this congregation, as you watch and guard and prepare your own hearts. And that's a daily thing. It's a thing moment by moment and day by day that you watch, protect, and guard your own heart. But it's also important that you pay attention to the holiness in your own life. Robert Murray McShane, who's a great Scottish pastor, who actually put together one of the most popular read the Bible through in a year plans when he was a young pastor, said this when he was asked by someone about what was the most important thing he could give to his church. This is what he said. The greatest need of my people is my own personal holiness. It's a walk with Jesus that evidences his character, his person in your life. It's to watch carefully your own life, your hearts, your holiness, so that you are striving after the things of God. Now, Andy, it wouldn't take me probably too long to talk to any of your children, which I'm glad you're all here, by the way. It's exciting to have the whole family here. Your family's like my family. If someone asked my adult children, hey, tell me about your dad, there's some things they could say about me that I would go, wow, I'm certainly not perfect. None of us are. The issue is not perfection. The issue is a heart that strives after God, that's pursuing, becoming everything God would desire you to be as you pay careful attention to yourself, your heart, your holiness, your teaching. I love what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4 to this young pastor, Timothy, who actually was in Ephesus leading the church there. He said, keep close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Jerry Bridges, a great navigator, leader of the Navigators. He's written several books. Jerry said this in one of his books. He said, I realized I need to preach the gospel to myself every day. I realized that I need to be in the word myself so that what flows from me when I teach is what God is teaching in my heart. And it's being careful in handling the word of God well, because what you do really will flow out of who you are. Pay attention to your relationships as well, Andy. Your relationship with Lori. Make sure that you're growing deep in your walk with Jesus and your love and your walk together as a couple. Relationship with your children, with those wonderful folk here in this family, in this church family. Keep those relationships strong, your friendships. Make sure there's accountability in your life so that you are watching carefully your own life. But then the Apostle Paul in verse 28 also says not only to pay careful attention to yourself, but to pay careful attention to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you a leader or an overseer. It's to pay attention to watch carefully the flock of God. Now, I appreciate all the hard work of the search team and of the leaders here in the congregation that were a part of the process that actually brought you, Andy and Lori, here to Bethel. It was a significant process, a lengthy one. And yet I think we all would acknowledge it was the Holy Spirit that led through all of it. And so even as Paul says in verse 28 here, that it's the Holy Spirit that has made you to be a leader, he's done that here. He's worked through the search team, through the congregation, to call you to be the leader. And in the midst of that, Paul would say, and I would say to you, watch carefully over the flock of God. Work hard to know and understand the people he's given you to lead. Work hard as you walk with them so that you will be guarding those foundational values of this church built on the Word of God and God's mission into the world and the gospel that we so tightly hold in our hearts. Make sure they never deviate from the things that would be on the heart of Jesus as you watch carefully over the flock of God. But if you come back in the text with me, there's a second little phrase. The first is, watch carefully, both yourself and the flock of God. The second is, to lead wisely. There's an interesting word in verse 28. It says, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The word overseer is a word that is often used interchangeably with the words elder or pastor in the New Testament. In fact, even in this chapter, Paul calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus, and now he calls them overseers. And the idea of the word overseeing, to be an overseer, is to shepherd, to care for, to feed, to protect, to provide for, to walk alongside, to lead wisely the people of God. And so just as his call is for you to watch carefully, his second call is for you to lead wisely. It's to shepherd the flock of God. I love Paul's example. If you go back to verse 18 of chapter 20, he said, I was with you. I spent time with you. He says in verses 20 and 21 and verse 27 how he taught them the truth. In verse 31, it says how he warned them about error. It's to be with them, to shepherd the flock of God. There's a book I read as a young pastor. It's out of print now, and I don't even remember all the content of the book, but I do remember the title because it's one I've never forgotten. It was a book about leaders in the church, and the title of the book was this, They Smell Like Sheep. I saw the title, I had to buy the book. I thought, this is the most unique title I've ever seen on a book. And so I got the book. I remember opening the introduction of the book. And in the introduction of the book, the author said this. He asked the question, how do you know who's a shepherd? And he said, it's easy. You know a shepherd because he smells like sheep, because he's been around them. And oh yes, sheep sometimes kick and bite and spit on you, but they also come up and they kind of nuzzle up alongside you, and there's kindness. But you can tell the shepherd of the people of God because he smells like sheep. He's been with them. He's rejoiced with them and wept with them and understands the heart of the people of God. It's important, Andy, to not just exegete the scriptures you teach, but to exegete the people God's given you to shepherd and to teach. So you know them. I love the comment that I believe it was April that was in the video from your church in Iowa where April said, you know the thing I love about Pastor Andy? It's not just what he teaches, it's his life. She captured it. She captured it. Watch carefully. Lead wisely. Because as Paul says in verse 29 of chapter 20 in Acts, it is a time when there are a lot of wolves around. It's challenging days. It's not a time to run and hide. It's not a time for us as leaders to shirk back. It's a time for us to step up and say, we believe now more so than ever the Word of God is right and true. And we lead with the scriptures in our hand, the gospel in our heart, our eyes on Jesus. And we press ahead. You know, I travel all around the country, and as I do, I meet people from a variety of different walks of life. One of the things I see as the pace of cultural change around us is accelerating in the U.S. I mean, it's amazing. The things I never would have thought we would have been talking about, we're talking about. And it's happened very quickly. And I see believers responding in one of two ways. Often I see them responding either in fear, they're afraid. Things have changed so quickly. Where is this all going to go? Oh my goodness, I don't know what's going to happen. And there's a sense of fear. For others, there's a sense of anger. Someone stole my country, my world, my city, and they're angry. Andy, your challenge is going to be, to lead the congregation in a rapidly changing time and to lead them like Jesus, to be full of grace and full of truth. I read something this last week where an author said, you know, as quickly as things are changing in our world, don't think that God is sitting back going, oh my goodness, I never saw that coming. The Lord knows, and He'll walk with you. And so really, what do we have? It's so significant as a leader to watch carefully, to lead wisely. And then lastly, if you look at the last phrase in verse 28 of chapter 20 of the book of Acts, Paul says, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Andy, my challenge to you is that you would care deeply like Jesus cared. My mother's mom, my grandmother, gave me a little plaque that hung on my bedroom wall when I was a boy. And the plaque simply said this. It said, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his arms and he died. And the reality is this congregation Jesus loves so much, he shed his blood for them. And so, Andy, God has called you to care for them with the love of Jesus, to live life with them as you and Lori serve here together, to live your lives together with these folks. He's called you to teach them well the scriptures, to teach them well the truth from God, to speak the truth, to live the truth, to walk the journey together with them. Because ultimately, in ministry, we're in the people formation business. We're in the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God and redemptive relationships in the people of God. God uses to form and shape people. It's wanting to see more people come to follow Jesus and more of them to be more like Him. And that happens best as you watch carefully your own life and the people of God, as you lead wisely, as you care deeply, as you show Jesus to them. I love the fall. I grew up in Thief River Falls, Minnesota, not far from here, and I used to love fall time because fall was after a good hard frost, the mosquitoes were gone. That's always a good thing. And I love those big harvest moons in the fall, you know, on a clear day when the moon is big and it just lights things up. And the truth is the moon has no ability to light anything in itself. It simply reflects the light of the sun. And Andy and Lori, my charge and challenge to you is that as you lead and love this congregation, that you will reflect the character, the heart, and the love of Jesus to the Bethel Church family. As you watch carefully and lead wisely and love them deeply, follow Jesus and call them to follow Him with you. May God bless you in your ministry here in the days to come, that we would maybe in 5 or 10 years, we can get a cup of coffee and look together and talk about the amazing things God has done through Bethel Church in the FM area, in this region, and literally around the world. Because He's been forming the two of you, Lori and Andy, for this time. And He's been forming the Bethel Church family for just this time. And in His sovereignty, He has brought the two of you together. And may what He does here bring great glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd who's called you to shepherd these people. Amen.
President Compline addressed his remarks to Pastor Andy. It's my opportunity to share some remarks that are addressed to you, the Bethel Church family. In the last 10 months, there has been a lot of attention focused on a football player here from North Dakota named Carson Wentz. Many of you are very familiar with him, having quarterbacked the North Dakota State University football team for the last 2 years. He's a graduate of Century High School in Bismarck, and I'm a high school football official. And I've officiated a number of Carson's football games, both in his sub-varsity level and varsity. When he graduated and was recruited to play at North Dakota State University, he was kind of forgotten about because he wasn't a starter for a few years and was just in the background. For those of us that were kind of familiar with him, we knew that he was a good high school football player. But when he got to his senior year at North Dakota State University, it became apparent that there were pro scouts that were interested in him. And as many of you are aware, he had an injury that caused him not to be able to play the last half of his senior season. However, he recovered well enough to play in the national championship game, and he ended up being the most valuable player in that game. Well, as things go, those college athletes that are eligible to be drafted by the pros go through a number of these routines and camps and tryouts. And it became more apparent that there were more professional football teams that were believing that Carson Wentz could be a good NFL player. One team decided that he had great promise, and so they made some very strategic moves to position themselves so that they might have the opportunity to draft him, and they did. Philadelphia Eagles drafted Carson Wentz number 2. Never before in North Dakota history has there been a quarterback drafted out of North Dakota that's from North Dakota, and nobody has ever been drafted that high. But they did so for one reason. They believed that Carson Wentz had great potential to be a very good professional quarterback in the National Football League. And at this point in time, the way things have played out, a little bit unplanned, but the expectation was that Carson would get the opportunity to kind of play behind some other quarterback for at least a year or maybe two. But with the injury of the Vikings starting quarterback and the trade of Ben, the first string quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, to the Vikings, Carson was moved up to be the starting quarterback for the regular season. And at this point in time, Carson has played 3 games. And at this point in time, there are a lot of people who believe today that Carson has the potential to be a very good professional quarterback in the National Football League. I share that with you because most people had no idea of the potential that Carson Wentz apparently has to be a good quarterback. Some, however, did. Scouts for the Philadelphia Eagles convinced the administration that they should make some very bold moves in order to position themselves to draft this young man. Now, what is interesting is that God, like some of these people in the Philadelphia Eagles organization, believes that churches have great potential. God believes that Bethel Church has tremendous potential to make an impact for the kingdom of God in Fargo and West Fargo and Moorhead and the surrounding area and region and rippling throughout the world. And I suspect that most of us have some ideas and some inklings, but probably lack the full awareness of the potential that God sees exists in each local church and in this local church, Bethel Church, here in Fargo. So this morning, I would simply like to remind you that in order for that potential to be realized, it is important that the leaders do their job well and that the church does its job well too. See, Carson Wentz would never be playing at the level that he is today if he had not worked very hard, regardless of the potential that existed. Not all churches realize the potential that God has placed within them to make a difference in their communities, to advance the work of God and expand the kingdom of God. So this morning, I simply want to bring a reminder to you of the part that you have to play. As President Compline offered some words of encouragement and exhortation to Pastor Andy, I would like to share some words of encouragement and exhortation to you as a Bethel Church family. so that together you might realize the potential that God has placed here for you to make an impact for Him and to bring the presence of Jesus Christ to these communities, to this area, and ultimately to our world. So I would like to simply share a verse with you and a couple of simple reminders that come from this verse. I'm drawing my comments from the New Testament letter called Hebrews. As the writer is closing his remarks to those that he is writing to, he's just sharing some reminders, some things that are important that he wants to be sure that he includes in his letter. He's just about done, but he adds in verse 17 these words: "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Let me read it again. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Allow me simply to draw out two thoughts that I think express the essence of what is being said. The first is that of being respectful of our leaders. Now, Pastor Andy is not the only leader at Bethel Church, but he is certainly one of Bethel Church's leaders. And in one sense, he's a leader among leaders, and he is a leader of leaders. He represents the leaders at Bethel Church. So I would suggest that what we draw from this verse, when we are told to obey our leaders and to submit to them, for they keep watch over our souls, is a reminder that we are to respect them. Now, respect displays itself in many forms, but one of those expressions of respect is simply how we talk to someone and how we talk about someone. The second thing that I would simply like to draw out of this verse is not only that we should respect our leaders and Pastor Andy, but we should be responsive to our leaders. Obey your leaders and be submissive to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Be responsive to them. Pastor Andy's role is to be a primary preacher and teacher of God's truth and God's word. And our task is to be responsive to God as God brings His message and His word to us through Pastor Andy. There is tremendous potential for the advancement of the kingdom of God and the work of God here at Bethel Church. And it will be realized as we all do our part. And as the Bethel Church family is respectful to Pastor Andy and responsive to Pastor Andy as he does his job of teaching us the Word of God so that we might be equipped to carry out the work of God that he has for us to do. I'm excited. And I'm looking forward to the wonderful things that God will do through this church family here in these communities, in this region, and around the world, because we do our part as you are respectful and responsive. Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. I promise this won't be a full message. There won't be 3 points. It didn't dawn on me until after the first service what the gift actually was. So it's much appreciated and very, very excited about that. And thank you again. I just want to say thank you to the search team, to the elders, to the staff, and to all of you for receiving us so incredibly well. We have felt very accepted and very loved from day one. All this, you know, as you know, started about a year ago. When we were up here innocently for the 125th celebration, I was sitting on the stage somewhere in this area in a chair, and literally, as the video said, after it was all over, Lori and I looked at each other and said, "What in the world has God up to?" And just through the course of a year, we've been in this process. It's hard to believe that we've been here 3 months already, and it still hasn't snowed. That's the most incredible thing. One of the things that I know for certain is that God is faithful. Amen. You agree with that? You know, when I look at my life and I look at my family and I can just look back over and I can just see God's handprint all over my life and just his faithfulness. He used a couple of verses in my life when he called me away the first time, and he used the same couple of verses in calling me back. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23-24. These are special verses to me, and this is what God's word says. It says this: may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I remember being called away and the thought of becoming a senior pastor. I was just asking and praying to God, how am I going to do this? And then he gave me these verses: he who calls you is faithful. And then the last part I just love: he will do it. And it's been a great reminder of returning back to Bethel Church when I was wrestling with the same questions, just laying it before the Lord. He says, don't worry, I'm calling you, and I will do it through you. I cling to verse 24, and I would ask, Lori and I just covet your prayers as we stand on the front lines for the gospel, for his glory, and for this church. Thank you. Amen.